This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's about springtime. It's about spring forward time.
Oh, that's right.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it. You know, we got to get with the time.
Oh, you know, it's I remembered it last weekend. I remembered spring forward time is coming up, and I forgot that it's here already. And so I'm glad you mentioned that. So, because otherwise I would wake up tomorrow and it'd be a whole new day.
That's right. Do you want to get up at the wrong time?
I know it.
Everything will be passing you by for one day.
Yeah.
You'll be out of sync. You got to get in sync.
Of course, the way everything's been going, maybe it'll put me back in sync. I never caught up.
That's
from
right.
Fall back.
If you're already out of sync, you need to get back in. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, in our world, everything's always moving at a fast clip.
Yeah.
Whether you expect it or not, we've been working on policies, been working on them, been bidding them and bidding them. And it looks like we finally are going to close on a $3 million policy.
Really?
That's short. It's like 21 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got two opinions. One's for 18 months, one's 24. So we went in the middle and did 21.
Wow.
It looks like it's going to be really good policy. Everybody's going to make a good profit, 21%. And it looks like the guy's 62 years old. He's not going to make it through any way he can make it. So we're excited about this policy. It took us a while to get it. Somebody else was bidding against us so hard that we weren't sure we were even going to get it.
Mm. That's fantastic. So, wow. It almost sounds like it was kind of like I know you've been working it, but it almost sounds like an unexpected surprise, especially since it was
hard
to
bid. Well, it is because we've worked so hard to get it.
Yeah.
It's not like the Chinese guy that just, you know, kept disappearing and disappearing and we couldn't do it, you know. But competition is tough. There's tough times out there, so you really have to work it and work it to get your policies bought.
Yeah.
I don't know why. The people are just screwy right now. You know, they'll tell you yes, and it means no. No means yes. I mean, you just don't know what to think.
I understand that feeling.
So you have to – we're working hard, let's put it that way, to get good policies, to get short policies. I'm even looking at one that's 48 months. That's a little bit longer than what we usually do. But it might come in earlier. Who knows? And then we had another policy mature. The guy's name is Mayer, M-A-H-E-R.
Ooh.
And that has matured. We've sent for the death certificate on that. Hopefully we'll get it quick. We're still waiting on McConnell, and that should be in the next 2 weeks. And I guess that's the only one we like is McConnell and Mayer right now. Mayer's another $1 million.
Oh, wow.
And, and it did come in earlier than what they predicted. So we've had two in the last 2 months that have come in early.
Wow.
And, that's a good thing.
That is fantastic. For the $3 million one that's brand new, is that already – now, you haven't started filling that yet, right?
No, we have not started filling it.
Okay.
It'll be Monday at least before we start. Mm-hmm. But then we're going to go fast because the guy needs the money. He is critically ill. And he asked me – that was one thing he asked – how long will it take you to close and to pay me? I told him we can do it in 3 days.
Oh, wow. So he's so, really, he's motivated, I guess, to sell.
He is very motivated. And I think that's why he went with us rather than Coventry, is I told him we can close faster than Coventry. Coventry's so big, you know, it's going to take them some time. And, you know, I said, no, it won't take us that long. We'll get that money into escrow for you right away.
Wow.
So that's why he went with us. So starting Monday, we're going to get this filled. It's a great policy. I've had people calling wanting to put their money to work, wondering why they don't have their money in some policies, because we haven't been able to close them. You know, we're almost ready on a lot of them, but we just haven't been able to get them to sign. So this will be the first one we've had ready, and it's going to be signed, and hopefully we'll start on Monday filling it. We're going to try to fill it in like 3 days.
Wow. Is 3 days a little aggressive to fill a policy?
It's pretty aggressive, yes. It's pretty aggressive. We're going to put the full court press on them.
Wow.
You know, we've done it before. You know, we've done a lot of policies that we'd say, okay, we've got to get this done. And then we'd end up with people that didn't get in. And on that one we did a couple weeks ago, I couldn't find the first two people I was looking for, and it was getting late. I said, if we don't hear from them by noon, we've got to go on. We went on, and then they both called back and said, yes, we want in that policy. So neither one of them got in because it was just too late.
Wow.
And usually people will email us back within half a day, and it was going over, and we really needed to close it. So those people will be going in this. I'll give them first priority.
So this is then an alert. Watch your email on
this
on
is
Monday.
Alert. Watch the email. Don't forget to watch the email, okay?
There's a big one coming down.
A lot of people don't. You know, they're out, they're working, and they forget to even check their email. So if they don't check it, we call them. I have Claudia call them and say, did you read the email? Did you read all the information on the person that's sick, and what do you think? So, yes, I do have her always do that.
All right. Since this needs to close quickly, how much detail can you go in, if any, now so that people kind of know ahead of time what they're looking for so that when they get it, maybe they can turn around faster?
It's urethral cancer. It's stage 4, and they're not giving him a long time. 21 months. That's not very long.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, he's already had a lot of treatment. They've done a lot of things. And they said, in spite of the treatment, you know, we're giving you 21 months.
When people get in an email, I guess we'll kind of go from like the like, say, okay, so let's look at it from an investor standpoint. What would be like in the subject line? What would they be looking for just to make sure that we put it on people's radar for when those things come in? So when you send out an email, what would it say?
Right, that's right. When I send out an email, I tell them what kind of cancer, how many months, and then I tell them what the premium's going to be. And one of them, there's two policies, and one of the policies is less than 1%, okay? Mm. I believe it's 0.294.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yes.
Wow, that's low. Cool.
It is. It's very low. And, of course, 21 months. So we're only escrowing $17,000 for premium.
Hmm.
Because of his sickness.
Yeah. You're probably not going to need much more.
No, we don't think you'll need any more than that. And so the things that they should be looking for on the details is how long he's had the cancer, when it started, all the cancer treatment that they've given him, what have they done, and what are they saying about future. And that'll all be in the LA. And what I usually do is I underline all the important parts, you know, what cancer drugs he's taking, how long he's been taking cancer drugs, what surgeries he's had, and what they're saying.
Hmm.
And they may say, this is the medium life expectancy, and this new company that does these, they will give you out how many people have survived, what the survival rate is with this type of cancer.
Oh.
They may say it's a year. They may say it's 2 years. 300 people survived it. 500 died. It'll tell you all that information.
Wow.
Because these scientists do it from a different perspective. They know all this, and they tell you all the studies that have been done on that type of cancer and how long they have lived and what the average lifespan for somebody with this type of cancer is. So they give you a lot of information.
Well, is all that historical data, is that new, or has that always kind of been there? We just hadn't talked about it.
No, this is the only company that does it. The others just give you, you know, the hospitalization, how many hospital stays, what doctors have treated him, how many doctors are involved, you know, all this information. Lab work, they'll tell you that. You know, how many nodules they've got, how many masses they've got. They'll tell you all that. But they won't tell you all the scientific knowledge of it, which this one company does. They're all a group of scientists, so they'll tell you all scientifically what the odds are, what all their studies show. They give you a full picture.
Wow. Because I know that, like, you know, several months ago you had mentioned, you know, that, you know, you've got all these different resources. I don't know that we've really gone into practicality, like what it actually like means in a practical sense for people. But that data is very helpful. That's, I didn't realize that that was part of what they would bring to the table. That's really great stuff. That's good information.
It is. It helps a lot. Because when I read it, I get a new perspective also. I go, okay, you know, this is how many have survived. This is how many have died. And this is why, you know.
Hmm. Wow. That's fantastic. That is really, really
cool. It is. It gives us a lot of insight that we don't get from just a regular LE on people. And so it really does help. You know a lot more about the inner workings of cancer.
Yeah,
it tells you a lot about cancer.
Yeah,
and how it's going to work and what how you're going to survive, if you will, at all. And then they'll tell us how far it's progressed. In other words, what are the chances of survival? And they'll say there is no chance of survival on this person.
Wow. So it sounds like a scientific perspective is a completely different, not contradictory different, but just a different layer, an additional layer of information that maybe you didn't have before from a scientific standpoint.
That's right. It, wow. It is. It's scientifically rather than just from doctors. So sometimes that is a good second opinion.
Wow.
Because you know exactly where you stand. So I really like that in an LE.
Yeah, no doubt. And this policy, you said this new one is 21 months?
Yes, 21 months.
Okay.
The first LA came in at 18, the other's 24. So we said, we'll go with 21.
All right. And usually, 30 is about the most generally you go, but you'd mentioned one that was, is it 48?
Yes, because I think it'll come in sooner. And we've been lucky. We've done this before on some. And I said, you know, I don't think it's going to last that long, and I've been right. And then some of them that we think are going to just come in normally, they run late.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know about their bodies. We just don't know how their bodies are going to take this.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that's where we're at. We just don't know for sure.
And the one that's 48, what stage was that in again? Are you looking bidding in?
It's a stage 4. But they are saying it's a slower progression.
Hmm.
You know, it's not as fast as some of these others.
Okay, but that could, you know, I don't know from an actual medical standpoint, but that could change, right?
It could change at any time. Like this Chinaman that we've been trying to do for months. You know, he started out at 26 months. It went to 16 real quick. Now they're thinking it's 6 months. And I don't know why he still wants to sell the policy. I mean, he's been up and down. He's been to Italy. He's been doing his bucket list. Then he went and did a clinical trial. And they kicked him out of the clinical trial. And they're thinking now he doesn't have 6 months to live, and he still wants to sell his policy.
Is that the same one he borrowed against the policy?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's borrowed against it. He borrowed $500,000 against his policy, but he's paid it back.
Really?
We don't understand what's going on. Yeah. He paid the $500 back.
I didn't know that part. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He paid it back, I found out. Because we looked at his policy and to verify all this, and there's no loan now. And that before there was a loan on his policies. But now there's not. But this guy's going to end up dying before he ever does anything. I mean, I think he'll be dead.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's moved fast. And he's on chemo. He's in a lot of pain. And, you know, when he comes out from under the ether, then he says, you give me more money and I'm going to sell it to you. Well, I've been dealing with him for 4 months.
Yeah. It's been going on for a while.
I figured out, I said, you know, I think he's going to die before he ever gets the policy sold.
Yeah, all that
because
monkey business
it's
going on.
It's moved so fast in the last few months. He's went down from 26 months to now it looks like it might just be 6 months. So
is he still trying to sell it? Or
that's what he says.
I don't know.
But I don't trust him.
I want to ask questions, but I'm not sure what I should even ask. I've never heard of anybody borrowing against a policy and then you know paying it back
and paying it off.
Yeah,
if they borrowed money on it, we buy it and we subtract that off of it.
Yeah,
you know, because we know we're going to have to pay it off of the proceeds, and so we subtract that off. It's what he's going to get, and that's it. It's a simple process.
Jeez.
You know, but you just never know anymore the way people think. But policies are plentiful. We've got six under, but we're just closing them right now. It's hard. The people are wishy-washy. They're up or they're down. They can't make up their mind. And I know, I understand they're ill, and they, you know, that may be what's affecting them.
Mm.
You know, they are ill. And maybe when you're this ill, you're having a hard time making the decision.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably one of those things where you have a lot of, you know, I guess maybe different options to look at as far as, you know, like strictly from a financial standpoint, different things to do with it. What I guess maybe what serves them best, what serves other people around them best. Maybe it's a group decision. Maybe, you know, they'll decide something and then maybe somebody else will have an opinion that's different. And then they kind of go back and forth. I would imagine there's probably some behind the scenes discussion going on as well.
I think there always is. I've never forgot the one where the son didn't want him to sell. And the father told me, he said, you know, I'm giving him the house. He's getting the house free and clear.
Wow.
Why does he care that I sell my life policy? But the boy was just kind of greedy. You know, he wanted him to leave him that too. And he said, no, I have something else I want to do with this.
Mm.
And he went ahead and did the deal with us. But sometimes the children will talk them out of it, even though they're ill and want to make this decision. They'll go, no, you don't want to do that.
And I'm sure it's probably for their own, their own self-serving purposes,
right.
Maybe?
And a lot of them flat need the cash. You know, cancer is the most expensive thing there is.
Yeah.
And it runs over $100,000 a month.
Jeez.
So you have to have a lot of money if you're going to survive this thing. Or even if you're not going to survive it, but you're trying. You know, you're taking the chemo. You're doing radiation. You're doing everything they say.
Yeah. So they're looking to sell the policy because they need the cash, and then the family members don't want them to sell because they want the inheritance.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty simple. You got it right.
Maybe a little too blunt, but
But true.
Yeah. Wow. Do you run into that a lot where you're like close to maybe, you know, doing the deal and then maybe somebody will talk them out of it at the last minute?
Yes.
Do you do that a lot?
I had a lady's lawyer talk her out of it, and this lady was poor and she needed the money.
Really?
And he talked her out of it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was a small policy, $250,000, and she needed the cash. and her lawyer flat talked her out of selling it, even though she needed the money for the cancer treatments. I don't know what she did, but he talked her out of it. I figure he had it assigned to himself or something.
Yeah, he's probably got a personal stake in that one.
I'm afraid he might have.
Mm.
Because it was in New York. It wasn't in New Jersey, but it was in New York.
Well, they're close enough to New Jersey, so I guess it counts.
I think it does count. Anytime you get close to New Jersey, look out.
Yeah, it's trouble.
That's right. It is trouble.
Wow. Well, that's great, though, that, you know, there's a bunch of policies that are, I guess, available. There's a lot of, how's the bidding going at this time? Because I know sometimes first quarter can be a little bit, I guess,
it has been tough, really tough.
Yeah.
We've had more policies exposed to us than ever before. It's just we haven't been able to close them. One of the guys, this guy, we bid his policy back in October. He walked away. Wasn't enough money. And he came back the other day. I'm going to do it now. He's changed his mind again.
Oh, wow.
There's something wrong with him. I mean, you only get two shots at us.
Yeah.
After that, we just say, we're going to decline you.
Yeah, you've got to move on, I suppose.
We have to move on. We can't wait. And, it was $1 million. He needed the cash, he said. He turned us down. We went right on. He came back 30 days ago. I really want to sell it. And so we started preparing again, and he changed his mind again.
Jeez.
So I figure he just needs to go home and tough it out.
Yeah. When competition gets like this, and it gets really tense and intense, and does it drag out the bidding process? Does it make it like instead of like 2 weeks, does it turn it into like 3 or 4? Or
yes, it does sometimes. Now some of them, it's a 2 week bidding process. The bid stops no matter what. And somebody is awarded the policy. But then there's some of them that they can keep it going. It depends who the brokers are on it. Remember, all these people have a broker. And the broker is always wanting more money. Sometimes it's not even the client. Sometimes the broker wants more.
Mm.
And the brokers make a lot of money on these. The clients don't know how much they make in most cases. They don't have to tell them.
Is there
if
some...
they had to tell them, it'd be shocking.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it'd be eye-opening. It's like, wait a minute. Is there any kind of a cap?
You make it what?
Yeah, really? is there any kind of a cap that goes on it, or could, in theory, I know
I've
it would.
I've never seen one. It's whatever the market will bear.
Mm. What about for, like, the time? Because you would think that, you know... And I know practically it wouldn't go on that way, but in theory, could they keep it going on indefinitely, the bidding process? Or at some point, do people just bow out and say, this is going on too long?
No, at some point, it all has to come to a head. And somebody's going to get the policy.
Hmm. All right. Well, I know it's very interesting times, but it sounds like, you know, really the whole first quarter, it sounds like it's probably been one of the biggest first quarters that we've talked about in probably several years, as far as not only, you know, the bidding process, getting a lot of really great policies, but also as far as, you know, policies paying out, getting paid, getting money in people's accounts, turning things over. It seems like the first quarter so far has been really, really active, whereas normally it isn't.
It's been very, very active. We just haven't closed a lot of things that we needed to close.
Yeah. Hmm.
You know, and it's just one of those things. The first quarter is always that way. Usually it's we don't have any policies. And then lots of times we've got so many people bidding against us. And this time it's the people. It's not the companies that are bidding against us. Those are not it's not that we're not bidding competitively. It's not that we're not, you know, bidding hard enough. It's actual people. They can't make up their mind. And you'd think they could, but they can't. They're just out there in fairyland.
Because I know you have a lot of people that have listened to you for a long time, and you know, they finally decide, you know, something happens and they say, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start getting into life settlements. For somebody who is at that point right now and they're saying, okay, I really want to get in, I've had enough, I've lost too much, I really want to get into life settlements, realistically, how long do you think it would take for a new investor to get into a policy at this point?
Well, if we get all these policies ready next week, in the next 2 weeks, they could get in a policy. If not, it might be 3 weeks. But I think as many policies as we've got out for signatures, I think within 2 weeks, they could actually get in a policy.
Well, that's pretty quick. That's a good turnaround, I would say.
It will be if we've got $4 million worth of policies to put people in. Yes, I think we can get them in.
Yeah, there's plenty out there.
And it depends if these people, you know, go ahead and sign, you know, this week. We should have everything signed up by Monday. So at that point, we should have plenty of policies. So we've been waiting and waiting, but it looks like the dry spell will be over, hopefully.
Good. Do we want to get into annuities? Because I know sometimes, you know, people, maybe life settlements isn't for them. Maybe they're looking for some other alternative. Maybe they're looking for, like, slow and steady, which would be more like an annuity type of thing. Is this a good time to get into annuities?
It's always a good time. Annuities are steady year-round. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. If you've got a good annuity, you just slow and steady. You know, once you buy an annuity, you know, you're going to get interest as it accumulates. And once a year, it's locked in. Once it's locked in, the interest doesn't go backwards like the stock market. It's locked in. It's yours. You can take 10% a year out the rest of your life. Or you can annuitize it and take payments. My best way, the way I like to do it, is 10% a year. If you have an emergency at the fifth year, you can take the whole thing out and get all your money back. And there's not many companies that will let you do that. If you had to take it out the first 2 years, there'd be a penalty. But the fifth year, there's no penalty. You can take all your money back out, and that's a great deal. And then at the end of 10 years, you can take another payout, or you can walk away with everything you've made. So that's what I love about annuities. I love annuities because the companies are huge that provide them. You know, they're worth billions and billions of dollars. I've never known a life insurance company to default on an annuity in all these years. They've got billions, and they have up the reserves to cover the annuities. So whatever age you are, you can walk into an annuity. There's not a health question here. A lot of people don't realize that. You do have to have a certain amount of money. They won't do it if you say, I've got $100,000, that's all I've got in the world. They'll say, no, you have to have money for emergencies. You have to have money to cover your monthly bills. So, you know, they're going to look at that. They're going to say, okay, how much do you have in CDs or cash? How much in savings? How much investments? And if all that works out, yes, they'll let you have an annuity. Our minimum on annuities is usually $100,000. Sometimes we'll do one less if we know the person's got enough money that's not their only money. But if it's $100,000, we know they've got plenty of money back at home, and we don't worry about it.
That's good to know.
We won't let people put – no, we won't let you put your last dollar in an annuity. You can't do it. You've got to have other cash.
I know, so, we talk about like guidelines for life settlements, but we don't really always get into the annuity side of the requirements. That's good information to have. I didn't really realize all that.
Yes. So you cannot put, if you just have $50,000, you want to put it with us. No, you cannot do it. You've got to have cash besides this for emergencies. So we always go over that with them. We talk about it. You know, we tell them everything about an annuity they ought to know. That when you go into an annuity, it's a contract for 5, 7, or 10 years. And if you're going to need this cash next week, keep it. Yeah. Just put it in your bank account and leave it there. But if this is money that you just need yearly to take out, this is a great investment. You won't ever lose any money on this type of annuity. It's not a variable annuity. It's not directly in mutual funds or anything like that. It's always safe because it's in the annuity.
So then let me ask the same question for an annuity, for a new investor to come over who wanted to get in only in annuities instead of life settlements. How long would it take to get in to get, like, I don't know what the word is, invested?
Yes, very shortly. If we send a check with it, they're going to look at it. If they approve it, they'll issue it within 14 days.
Hmm. Okay. So, again, quick turnaround.
It's a quick turnaround. Your money will be working very quickly. If there's anything that that they have a question about, you know, they'll send us an email, tell us. We've got a deal now where this lady inherited some money. We sent in a change, you know, over to her as the inherited IRA, and we can't get the brokerage company to release the money. She's been waiting 30 days.
Really?
And this is absurd. It's absurd. They just don't want to give her the money back. And it's a small account. Why do they care?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Anyway, it's putting her in a bind. She needs to get the money invested, and we have not been able to get it from the brokerage house.
That's not cool.
It's crazy. No, it's not. And they do stuff like that every once in a while. Used to, they were really bad about it. Last few years, they haven't been doing it much. But this is the first time I've seen them doing it again. And it doesn't make it easy on the lady. She's upset about it. You know, and we've got to call them and remind them it's her money. It's not their money.
Jeez.
You know, they get to thinking it's their money, and they want to keep it.
Yeah. Wow. Why do they do that?
It's her money, and she needs it back.
Is it?
I don't know. It's just...
It doesn't make any sense.
They don't want to turn loose $1. They may be losing their money, but they don't care about that. They just care about they're in control of it. Yeah.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Our topic this morning is Padre Island.
Ooh, cool.
Yes. There's so many things about Padre Island most of us don't even know. You know, we've done stories on Corpus. We've done stories on so many places. But Padre Island is the largest of the Texas barrier islands. It's the world's longest barrier island. It's 113 miles long.
Is it really? Oh, I didn't know that.
It's 113 miles long.
Good Lord.
It's the second largest island by area in the United States after Long Island.
Wow.
And years ago, they started having these marathons on the island, and you were going to walk this whole 113 miles. Only 11% of the people made it. 11%. It's so hard, so tough. Oh, my gosh. But let me tell you how this island came about. This island was one of the Spanish land grants. Now, a lot of people don't know this. Father Jose Bailey, he was known as Padre Bailey, he owned the island in the 19th century.
Really?
Yeah, it was part of the San Diego Land Grant. And it was granted in 1759 to them, to his grandfather. And I didn't even know that this was one of the old original Spanish land grants. King Charles III of Spain is the one that granted this land to them. They were very wealthy. He was a secular priest. He was a missionary. And he managed large amounts of land where he ran a ranching empire. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah, a priest. Oh, and in 1804, he founded the first Mexican settlement on the island. and it was called El Rancho Santa Cruz. In 1827, this is when Mexico achieved independence, Father Malig requested clear title to the property of Padre Island. And, yeah, so he died in 1829, but the government went ahead and granted title to the island to him posthumously. He wanted it for his nephew. So his nephew ended up owning the island of Padre Island.
Wow.
Can you imagine? So I had no idea that this priest owned all this land in Cameron County, plus Padre Island.
I would have had no idea. You could have asked me a million things, and I would have never put those two things together, ever.
I wouldn't have either. And then during World War II, the United States considered Padre Island as of one of eight candidates for the first test of the atomic bomb.
Oh, Lord. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they considered it. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow.
And instead, they chose White Sands in New Mexico, of course. But it's a young island. It's only been there for several thousand years.
Several thousand years. Young.
Several thousand years. It's one of 300 barrier islands stretching from Maine to Mexico.
Wow.
So, yeah. But there's a lot of great things about Padre Island. You know, out here in West Texas, there's no lakes, there's no water, there's no nothing. You can go to Padre Island. There's so many things to see and do. I don't know if anybody even realizes. They have a bird sanctuary there, nature center. It's a part of the island that's left just natural. It's all natural back there. You can go and see the sea turtles. Years ago, they started getting all these little sea turtles and putting them everywhere, the little eggs, and they've all hatched and they're grown now. So they've got a sea turtle preserve. It has the largest permanent sandcastle is at Padre Island.
Really? Permanent sandcastle?
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, I've done that story on the sandcastles that they, every year they have that big contest there to see who can build the greatest sandcastle. But the world's largest one is there. Then you can go to the Dolphin Research Center. You can take a dolphin cruise. I mean, there is so many things. You can go snorkeling, you can go fishing, you can rent a boat, or you can just go to the fishing pier. They've got all the piers, you know, to fish. Mm. And for people that are landlocked, it's a great place to go. you can camp out. You know, and we know the spring break kids come there, but, you know, there's just so many things to see, to do. You can camp, as I said, you can camp out, you can go and watch all the birds. You know, it's just an amazing thing. There's probably 30 different things that a visitor can do there. And I said, the dolphin cruises are worth everything. They have the lighthouse there. The old lighthouse has been there all these years. It's famous.
Have you ever done a dolphin cruise?
No, I haven't, but I'd like to.
I know it. Me too. I've never done one, but it seems
paragliding.
Fascinating.
You can paraglide over the ocean there.
Really?
Over the bay, yeah. So they've just got so many doggone things to do. Kiteboarding, you can surf. You can think that you're going to be in the water forever.
Yeah. Wow, and we're at that time of year where, you know, this is the time where you want to plan something like this. Get out. You know, we've all kind of been, I don't want to say, you know, hunker down for winter because it hasn't been quite like that. But, you know, you get that spring fever and you want to get out and you want to, you know, start doing something. And, you know, probably most people hadn't really taken time off since the holidays. And here we are, what, 3 months, you know, into the new year. And so, yeah, this would be a good time of year to plan maybe an escape and go do
something. I think so. They've got pelicans. They've got alligators. You know, there's just so much to do there. It's a great place to go and spend 2 or 3 days. Of course, you don't want to go the weekend of spring break.
Oh, no.
You want to make sure which week that is, and you go the next weekend, yeah. You know? But I just think about all the things. You know, you need your swimsuit, a towel, some sunglasses. a hat and get out there on the beach and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy all that water. You know, just so much things you can do on Padre Island. I thought about it, and I said, you know, and we not even the seafood. The seafood is great. Ooh. You know, you're going to get all this fresh seafood that you're not going to get anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
And it's fresh every day.
Mm.
And you can stay at a hotel, a motel. You can even camp out on the island.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing like eating seafood, you know, that was in the ocean that morning and in your belly that evening.
That's what you need. Instead of going to the grocery store, and you know it's been frozen for probably a month when you get it, you know?
Yeah.
But you can go deep sea fishing, spend the day. You know, I know a lot of men like to do that with their wives. They go out, they spend 8 hours, you know, and they'll take you way out in the ocean for fish, and it's a great experience. Just being with people, being out on the ocean, having a Dr. Pepper, you know, it's a great experience.
Dr. Pepper.
Well,
oh, wow.
I know what the men are really going to have, but, you know.
We'll call it Dr. Pepper.
Let's call it Dr. Pepper. It sounds better anyway.
Yeah, it does.
But I think this time of year, Padre Island would be a great place because a lot of our lakes are too cold right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to go swimming there. Boating, I think, would be a lot of fun down there. You know, renting a charter a boat and going out and fishing, or go windsurfing, paragliding. I mean, there's so much to do.
Jeez.
And it's not real expensive there. You know, there's a lot of things that don't even cost anything.
Yeah. And it's a good chance to just kind of get back to, you know, to I guess, fun without electronic devices.
That's what I would recommend that. Get rid of all those devices and do something different for a change.
Yeah.
You know?
Spend some time with some people.
I mean, nobody wants to. That's right. Actually talk to each other. Now, that would be a new experience.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, you know?
Relearn.
Most people are. Relearn how to discuss something with your family. Because everywhere I go, everybody's on an iPad or they're on their cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching something somewhere and not talking to anybody. And you ask them something, they don't even hear you.
Yeah.
You realize that? They just kind of ignore you and go on with what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I recommend Padre Island to get started for spring, to get you in the mood. It's warm there. And that's another reason I recommend it, because in some places, some days, it's still pretty cool. But you go to Padre Island, it's going to be nice and warm. The breeze off the ocean will be great. I think just going for a dolphin cruise, seeing the sea turtles. Oh, and all the birds, the migratory birds are this time of year.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, the bird sanctuary. That would be a great thing to see, all the different kinds of birds they have.
Mm. And all that untouched land, you know, there's...
Yes, it's pristine.
Yes, golly. You don't get something like that just in our everyday journeys, I guess.
And they've preserved that natural trails. You can go walk the trails out there, all the natural things. The sand dunes are great. And then it's white beaches, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really a great place to spend some time. And I think once a year, everybody should go to Padre Island and to spend some time, especially when you don't have a lake near you. You don't have all these fun things, you know.
Yeah.
A weekend at Padre Island would be a good thing.
You know, and what I seem to remember the most is the sounds, you know, the things that you hear. You know, you don't hear, cars, you don't hear trucks, you don't hear equipment, you don't hear, you know, things. You hear nature, you hear sounds that you don't hear every day. And that's really grounding and you know, really peaceful as well.
And, you know, Padre Island is very sparse.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of homes on it, not a lot of things. It's not like Corpus or anywhere else. Now, Corpus is a different type of town. It's a working class place, you know. We used to do a lot of business down there. And the people are not real wealthy in Corpus. So they don't have the fine beaches. They don't have all this. If you're just going over to the island, you know, the island is beautiful. It's pristine. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So I think we can say that we've officially begun now, since we're into the new year. We have begun Faye's Texas Tour 2023. And this is stop number one.
That's right. Stop number one. We'll be bringing you a lot of stops along the way. A lot of things that you need to see and do.
You need to put all this into a book, or at least a pamphlet or something.
A pamphlet. Oh, my gosh. If a person started out on Monday morning, 5 years later, they'd be calling us back saying, we finally got to the end.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It'd be like you take a whole trail of different stops across the state, and it might be, I don't know, clockwise order, counterclockwise, whatever it would be. But you could put together literally a trail of places that people need to go. Stop one, stop two, stop three, and it would probably take 5 years. You're right. It would take a long time.
And another thing I hadn't told you about the Houston Stock Show, I don't have a report yet on the grand champion and all this, but I can tell you this, governors from out of state have flown in to the rodeo and stock show. Governors from other states. It's that big a deal, you know? It is a big deal.
It is.
It is, yes. And I was shocked to find out all these governors and their families flew to Houston for the rodeo and the Fat Stock Show. I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's very impressive. I mean, we say that it's legendary and it's, you know, something that we can appreciate. But when people from out of state, you know, come in and they're, I guess that, what's the word? Not pristine. They're governor status. I don't know what you call that, but that's a really big
deal. It is a big deal that they would fly from their state all the way to Texas for this. You know, we think it's all just Texas.
Yeah.
But other states appreciate it and are coming in to see what we have. And I'm impressed about that.
It's very impressive. I'm surprised somebody hasn't from out of state tried to copy it or put on their own version of it.
You cannot copy Texas.
No.
It's just one of those things.
People will try.
I mean, you got to be Texan to do this. You can't just go out of state and say, we're going to make something like Texas. You know? This has been going on for 90-something years.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you can't mimic something like that. And not only the event itself, but like all the food that goes with it, you can't, you know, I know we always kind of go back to the food, but you can't get anything like that anywhere else. It's just not happening.
And it's a Texas thing.
Yeah.
You know, Texas really hadn't changed all that much. Men still wear Levi's. They still wear boots. They still wear their cowboy hats. You don't see this in most states. Their natural roots are not what ours are. Ours are different.
Yeah, yeah.
Texas is just different.
Yeah, the heart and soul of Texas is exactly what it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Nothing has changed.
That's right. It's
solid.
Still beef and cattle. Had you thought about that? It's beef, cattle, horses.
Yeah.
You know, we're still showing our steers, our bulls. We're still doing the same things they've done since Texas began.
Yeah.
The cattle industry is still the biggest thing here. So we're going to celebrate that, I think, forever.
I think you're right.
I don't think the city people are going to do us out of this.
The city people.
Yeah. All these people coming from other states are just going to have to get used to the Texas way.
The city folk will come and enjoy it and then go back to their city way of life.
That's right. Let them go back. You know, they'll never catch on.
No, they won't. That's why they have to come visit and then go home. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And speaking of tradition, have you noticed that we're the only state that has everything in the shape of the actual state? I mean, you don't ever find anything in the shape of Rhode Island or Pennsylvania or New Jersey. It doesn't exist. We have everything in the shape of the state. It's cool. All right, so we should probably go over the risks of a life settlement before we wrap things up, because that's always a really big deal. There used to be three, and now we call it two. So what's the biggest one?
The biggest risk is you could be in a policy that might go over. So that's your biggest risk. If you had to pay premiums, can you do it? If you can't, you're not accredited anyway, and you must be accredited to do this. So the second risk is, remember, it is not liquid until it matures. And when it matures, you can spend the money, you can pay the taxes on it, or you can just leave it there and reinvest it. So that's the risk. The risk is low. We're really, really trying to have these premiums really low. And we do tell you every time what the premium is. Now, we've gotten some policies coming to us, by the way, that have no premiums. They're paid up.
Really?
So that's going to be a blessing also, yes. We've got a couple of policies we're looking at that they're all paid up.
That's cool. That's exciting.
Yes.
Another thing that people should remember with a life settlement is that you always protect your principal. No matter what is happening in the economy, in the world, if all of a sudden we have a stock market crash of 1929 and everything just, you know, blows up, you've still got your life insurance companies don't pay out a percentage of the policy when it matures. The full value goes out, so it holds its own.
That's exactly right. If it's a $1 million policy, they're going to pay $1 million. It's not like the stock market. They say, oh, today it's worth less. With this, it's never worth less than what the face amount is. It's always worth the face amount. So that's a blessing. That's why it's conservative, because you know that you'll always get your principal and interest back. They're not going to withhold it. So that's a good thing to know that. It's always a principal amount plus your interest. Face amount, always.
And what about an annuity? What types of risks, if any, are involved in annuities?
Annuities are so low risk, I just can't tell you. Your only risk is how much you're going to make. You know, that's it. In other words, it could be $50 today, $100 tomorrow, whatever. Your only risk is year to year, how much interest are you going to make? So, and once a year, we lock it in, whatever it is.
And it's completely, let me see if I say this the right way. Correct me, because I'm probably going to mess this up. But an annuity mirrors the stock market, but it's not in the stock market, right?
You're exactly right. It mirrors the stock market, but it is never in the stock market. It's always safe in the annuity.
So how does that work? Just so that if nobody's ever done an annuity before, barely even heard the word, what does it mean that it mimics it, but it's not actually in the stock market?
Okay. It follows it, in other words. It's following it day to day inside the annuity where it's safe. In other words, we might say, okay, we want it to be like the S&P, or we want it to be like a Fidelity. And then we say, okay. It's an index. So the index is like this. And whatever that index makes, we credited you. Now, let's say that the stock market went down. This won't go down. It'll just sit there till the next interest payment. Mm-hmm. So you've always got that.
Is it fair?
So that's the good thing about it.
Can we realistically say that one of the benefits of an annuity is that it doesn't take a lot of engagement with people? They pretty
That's
much
exactly
set it
right.
and forget
it. It'll do it itself. It's a do-it-yourself. In other words, every year we look at what it's made. If we need to make changes, we will. If it's not, we just let it ride. And it's the interest is credited to you with whatever we do. We just sit here and wait for it, and it'll credit that interest to your account.
Okay.
It's not like the stock market. That's why it's safe always in an annuity. If the stock market goes down, your annuity doesn't go down, because it's not directly in the stock market. All it does, if the stock market goes down, it just sits there. And then when the stock market goes back up, this will go up.
Hmm. So it's and almost that, like there's a safety net. Time.
It is a safety net because it's direct inside the annuity.
Okay. As opposed
and
to
never
like,
directly in the stock market.
So annuities, you basically turn it on and walk away and make money. With a life settlement, there's always policies that are maturing and then new policies coming in. So it does usually, to work properly, people do need to be a little bit more involved with it. It's not that they have to get up at midnight and check their portfolio because it's fine.
No, never.
But they do. It does take a little bit more involvement. It is a little bit more aggressive. Is that a good way to characterize a life settlement? Or am I saying
I would say the involvement is when you do it to start with. When it matures, you're involved again because you have to re-up it. You have to put it in another policy. And then keeping up with what you've got. If you've got 20 policies, 30 policies, or five, from time to time, you want a statement showing what they're making, how much you've made, what policies have matured. At the end of the year, you have to look and see if you have to take money out. If it's an IRA, lots of times you've got to make a withdrawal. So you have to have enough cash in your account to make the withdrawal.
Okay. And either way, whichever way people go, annuities or life settlements, really one of the big things that people say when they come see you is that they've lost too much in the stock market. They can't take the anxiety and the stress anymore. It's time to look for something more conservative, and either way will satisfy that. So I assume you have availability to talk to new people this week if they're interested. Yes?
Yes, we will be talking to people. We already have some appointments. We'll be talking to people and see which fits them, whether it'll be annuities or whether it'll be life settlements.
Perfect. All right, Faye, so then one last time for people to call, make an appointment, come see you, get started, get some information, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.